Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, you can't blame markets for being a bit skittish at the start of the third quarter, with lockdowns being reimposed in certain areas of the world made to prevent a second outbreak of COVID-19 cases. But there's still also that lingering economic uncertainty that's tied so closely to the virus. Phillip Securities, though, thinks that the coast might be clear for equities and investors might be able to proceed, but with some caution. Well, for more on Phillip Securities' outlook for the third quarter, we're joined now by their head of research, Mr. Paul Chu, on the line to share with us what exactly Phillip Securities is looking at and to help elaborate on their more confident position in the next 3 months. Mr. Chu, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be back again.
Now, Paul, the first two quarters of the year were markedly different. In the first quarter, you had that market meltdown, followed by the second quarter where you had that massive liquidity which backed this very remarkable fight back. Now, what is the landscape, though, for the next 3 months based on what Phillip Securities is seeing?
The landscape for the next 3 months will be a persistently low interest rate and its repercussions. What this means is that the equity will look even more attractive than bonds. Any asset that produces yield will become scarcer, more valuable and priced at a higher premium. Specific to Singapore and perhaps even globally will be the easing of the lockdowns. I think so far we've seen, even though the lockdowns have eased, we still see that cases, at least locally, have been quite contained. I think if you look at the local community cases, right now it's trending about mid-teens. But pre-circuit breaker, it was at the high 50s. So we do expect the lockdowns to ease further, and this should help alleviate and create some momentum for our local economy.
So will this pickup begin, do you think, in the third quarter in earnest?
I think the trajectory of the pandemic will ebb and flow. I think we've seen the next wave, I think, resulting in record levels of infections globally. But by and large, I think we still see globally most countries are easing on their lockdowns, and this will be a big positive for the market and the economy.
Now, Phillip Securities is advocating a sensible strategy, it seems, of pursuing sustainable dividend yields when going to the markets. But there's the rub, right, Paul? A lot of companies have been struggling to maintain cash and has also called into question just how capable are they of sustaining their dividend yields. Based on your research, are companies strong enough to sustain some of these dividends? And are there any particular spaces or sectors where there are signs that companies are better equipped to sustain some of their dividends moving forward?
From our perspective, I think sustainable is not just 1 year, but we're looking across 2 to 3 years. So most REITs, I mean, not all, but most REITs can fit into this category, I think, such as the office sector. Another category will be companies with strong net cash balance sheets that can sustain their dividends. Even this year, I think we would include companies such as even like SGX, Asian Pay TV, Netlink Venture, and even the bank. Due to their strong balance sheets and better operating performance this year.
Now, staying on the topic of dividends and dividend yields, let's talk about the telcos, because I did note in Phillip's research note and third quarter strategy that you've dropped, actually, the two telcos, Singtel and StarHub, from your list. Why is that? And does this reflect a seeming lack of confidence in sustainable dividends in the sector, Paul?
Firstly, both companies have removed their guidance for dividends this year. I think that's the first part. But telcos in general face two major headwinds. I think firstly, the disappearance of international travel means the loss of their high-margin roaming revenue. They've never given outright a figure, but you could estimate this to be around 10% of revenue. So we think this headwind will weigh on the results for at least 3 quarters. And for someone specific to maybe Singtel, the emerging markets where their associates include Indonesia, Philippines, could also face another headwind. I think emerging markets rely on a lot of discretionary spend through prepaid services. Basically, you use the services as you go and you pay as you use. And we expect this to suffer, I think, from the general economic weakness in these emerging markets.
Now, you mentioned a while ago, Paul, that Phillips Securities is favoring banks, but banks face a specific set of risks. We've seen a lot of these credit risks and potential defaults on loans start to mount up, specifically from the oil and gas industry. And many companies, because they're facing credit risks and liquidity crunches, could this actually feed into the banks? Or do you think that the banks are actually strong enough to withstand some of these growing pressures in their sector?
There has been notable headline credit risks for the banks, especially from all traders. But do note that the banks have preemptively kind of provided provisions and guided the market that provisions would be tripling at least for the next 2 years. But even under such circumstances, these banks will be profitable and they can build on their equity and maintain their dividends, in our opinion. I think we've already shaved off more than 20% of our bank limits in terms of earning. Operationally, the outlook for banks will be modest, admittedly. It will be a slow grind to generate any top-line growth, but we do expect the yields to be maintained at around 5%. This is especially attractive when compared to regional peers.
Now, other areas for banks will be similarly challenging, Paul. As we know, we're in a very, very low interest rate environment, which might make interest margins a very challenging place to generate some growth. What areas do you think can banks rely on to generate some of this growth that could help solidify their balance sheets and also help them maintain their dividend yields moving forward?
For this year, there's only one source of growth for the banks. It's going to be fee income.
Okay.
I think what we've seen is loans growth slowing down, and as you mentioned, interest margins will also be contracting. But what we do see is that fee income from wealth management, investment banking, that will be the growth areas for the banks. And that could help kind of stabilize their overall earnings before provisioning, of course.
We're still speaking to Mr. Paul Chu, the head of research at Phillips Securities, and he's joined us to outline their group's third quarter outlook. Now, if there's one sector that continues to find favor come rain or shine, Paul, it's the REIT sector. But they have also faced a lot of questions as to whether they can sustain their distributions and dividend yields moving forward. What is playing in favor of the REITs then, Paul? And why is the sector continually favored despite all this lingering economic uncertainty?
At varying degrees, almost every REIT will get affected by the pandemic. I think we can just get that off the bat.
Okay.
But our view is to buy into the normalized yield that the REITs can produce and not just value them on current, you know, extreme circumstances. Office in general will be the most resilient. And for us, a standout would be the overseas REIT, as they look like absolute bargains, not just relative, but in terms of their high dividend yield, almost 6-7%. And broadly, there are some positive offsets for the REITs. I think, namely, lower interest rates, I think, make them a more attractive asset class. Lower interest costs, and also the industry supply will be further constrained due to this outbreak. So by and large, I think REITs will still perform well.
So, Paul, it's office REITs and REITs with an overseas focus or overseas exposure. Are there any particular REIT sectors that you might have a question mark over?
The obvious ones would be hospitality, I think, especially maybe our local hospitality, where we are more dependent on tourist arrivals. Some of the overseas hospitality, maybe like Ascott, where they have a more diversified base of service apartments, and they can also tap on domestic travel. So that will be a bit more shielded than the rest.
All right.
And of course, retail. Yeah, retail is still going to be a near-term a bit of a question mark because you're not sure the viability of some of your tenants. But you know, suburban retail in Singapore is different. They're almost like monopolies.
So we've talked about the opportunities in the third quarter and reasons to be a little more confident. But Paul, what is the key risk that Phillips Securities is watching out for in the next 3 months that could pose a threat to your outlook?
The most obvious risk out there is the trajectory of this pandemic. I think the current wave that we see is stalling or at least slowing growth. I think when you look at some of the high-frequency data, I think the Apple and Google mobility numbers is very helpful. Nevertheless, from our perspective, I think there is a bottom from global economies. And I think in total, I think most economies are generally easing their lockdowns and recovering. I mean, just to add on, the other risk, although maybe a low level type of risk, but it will be the fiscal stimulus in the US not being extended. So that could be another thing that we are monitoring right now.
Now, Paul, very quickly, I wanted to get your insights on the rise in retail investing. Actually, in the last quarter, we saw a significant pickup in the retail investors coming back into the market to swoop up some deals. But some skeptics feel that this could be a sign that there could be some more market risk because of the big uninformed bets that are coming into the space. Can you share with us what you make of the sudden rise in retail investing and whether it's a good or a bad thing for markets?
Okay, I can't speak about the U.S. markets, but sure. If you talk about the local markets, I think if it's investing, it is positive that the retail is coming back. I think what we see, you know, in the Singapore local markets, valuations are close to global financial crisis level. But of course, if it's leverage and speculative, where you know, guess what the others are doing, investing, then of course that will be worrying. And do remember that there are few alternative investor or retail investor. I think 1 year the fixed deposit rates are 0.9%, compared to a 5% dividend yield you can get from the market, and even higher from the REIT.
Mr. Paul Chu, Head of Research at Phillips Securities, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule today to join us on Money FM and share your group's outlook for the third quarter. As always, I wish you and your loved ones good health and safety during these still uncertain times, and a great rest of the week ahead. Cheers, sir.
Thank you, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.